Good morning, everybody.
I'm normal. It's January 24th. It's June 24th. It's not January. Where'd I get that? Okay, I was thinking of a J word, I guess. Anyway, I'm Larry Jacobs. It is June 24th, 2020, and welcome to today's show. And it's warm up here in Maine where I live, but I can guarantee it's a lot warmer where we're going to go today. We are heading down to Mississippi to talk to two amazing educators down there. Dr. Carla Evans, who I'll introduce in just a second for real, is the superintendent of Pass Christian Public Schools. Okay, and in Laurel, Mississippi, we have the principal of the Laurel Magnet School of the Arts, Dr. Kiana Pendleton, and both doctors will be welcome to the show. Let me just do a little homework, and as soon as I'm done with that, I'm going to bring them on. We're going to be talking about delivering A-rated instruction, and man, did they, even through the pandemic. And I'm just going to say congratulations before we even start. I'll bring them on in just a second. We're going to archive this show over at education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio.org. That's our website. We put a new schedule up there every Saturday, and all of our shows are archived over there since 2011. There's an icon for past shows. We have all kinds of interesting news and information as well. education-talkradio.org. Follow us on Twitter over at EduTalk Radio, and on Facebook, it's EduTalk Radio, and my name, Larry Jacobs, and on LinkedIn, it's Larry Jacobs. Why I didn't make them all consistent, I have no conceivable idea. It just worked out that way. We got big news, our newest issue of our magazine, all about equity and access, AC&E, okay, is now available on the website. It's our online journal over at our website, ace-ed.org. Everything we do over there is free. You can go over there, read the entire magazine. It is a great issue. You'll see the giant icon there for the magazine. ace-ed.org is our website, all about equity and access, and that's the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ACE-ED. All educators are welcome to join, express their viewpoints on equity and access. I can talk today, all right? And I got to tell you, we've been yelling and screaming about equity and access for 3 years now, publishing our magazine. And when the pandemic hit, boy, did everybody learn a lesson. We've got a lot of members of the association. We want voices heard, especially yours. Everything we do over there is free. No tricks. Go over ace-ed.org. And as we get started today, I want to thank, we're going to talk about one of their products, iReady, my good friends over at Curriculum Associates for introducing me to Carla Evers and Kiana Pendleton. And let me just introduce them both now officially. Carla, are you there?
Carla? I'm here. Good morning.
I hear you loud and clear now, Carla, and welcome to the show, and I have a feeling this is your first year as a superintendent. Would I be correct?
It is not. Actually, this is year four for me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, and the reason I said that was because I read your letter, okay, in on the Pass Christian website that said as a new superintendent. So I assumed it was your first year, and I apologize for that. Fourth year in, huh?
Yes, I still consider myself as relatively new to this field, though.
You are an experienced teacher now, and I'm going to and this little part before I tell everybody the wonderful things you've done. Once a pirate, always a pirate. I assume the Pirates are the team name in Pass Christian.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is Pirate Nation.
This is Pirate Nation. As I told you in an email yesterday, I've been to your beautiful little town. Okay, we have good friends who live in the next town over, which is Long Beach. Okay, so pretty cool, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a nice place. And let me just read a little bit about you. Carla is the superintendent of schools for Pass Christian Public Schools. All right. And she is, let me just read this to you. I just want to get to something I have here. Hold on 1 second. Okay, here it is. All right. 75% of the schools are national blue ribbon schools. Congratulations on that, Carla. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay, closing the learning gap, which is what we talk about with equity and access, emphasis on providing a challenging, progressive curriculum. She previously served as director of instructional programs. Was it Gulfport you were in?
Gulfport School District, home of the Admiral.
There, yeah, there. Once an admiral, always an admiral, huh? Right? And you help lead the effort for the Middle College Concept, good, and career academies. I love this. You are really something. You're really pushing the education of all the people and the kids in Pass Christian. It's a lovely town. They're lucky to have you, Carl, I got to tell you. They are really lucky to have you.
I really feel I'm lucky to be here. This is a special place, and since you've been here to visit us, you know how beautiful it is. We sit
it
along.
It is, right on
the
coast.
The seashore. Yes, right. Yes.
Go down there, play on the beaches, everybody. Pass Christian, Long Beach, all the way over to Gulfport. It's just beautiful down there. Kiana, are you there?
Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning, Dr. Pendleton, the Laurel Schools Administrator of the Year. Congratulations.
That's right. Thank
you. Congratulations. Tell us about the Laurel Magnet School of the Arts, of which you are the principal.
Yeah, well, I'm the principal of LMSA, as we call it. I have approximately 350 students, and we are nestled here in Laurel, a little bit outside of Jackson and Hattiesburg,
yep,
and not too far from the coast. So we're here.
That is excellent, and I'm sure it's a wonderful school. We'll learn more about all the wonderful things you do. And then, Carla, let me swing back to you. Tell us a little bit more about the district. Okay, how many kids go there, et cetera?
Okay. The Pass Christian School District is at the front porch of Mississippi. We sit along the Mississippi Sound. We have 2,050 students. We have two elementary schools, one middle school, and one high school. So we're one of the smaller districts in the state of Mississippi. We are high-performing, and as you said, we have 75% of our schools are National Blue Ribbon schools. Both of our elementary schools are National Title I or ESA schools. We have approximately 13.6% of our students are special needs students. 65% of our students are at or above the poverty line, and all four of our schools are Title I schools.
Wow. Thank you for that and for the wonderful work you do. Okay, and I just want to go back over to Kiana before we start the real questioning. I looked at the Laurel Public Schools website. Is your team name, and I'm going to ask you this, okay, Kiana, the high school, is it the Cyclones or the Tornadoes? I saw the logo, but I didn't know the name. Which one is it?
We are the Tornadoes, and it looks like one may be nearing us today with the weather outside.
Yes.
I'm sorry I cursed you with that. I hope it goes way out into the sand. Oh, my Lord. Okay. Jeez. I hope you're okay and run for cover if it happens. Tornadoes are not fun. I can tell you that much right off the bat.
No.
Okay. And I've been in New Orleans when a tornado hit, and which is close to kind of both of you. And it's just it's scary, scary stuff. And congratulations to both of you. This has been a rough year to be in educational administration. It's been a rough year to be a teacher. It's been a rough year to be a student. Okay. And next year is going to be equally bad as we swing back in, I hope, okay, to school. I don't know how it's going to shake out yet. Yeah, nobody really does at this stage of the game. All right. But I congratulate you both on doing this. And Carl, I'm going to ask you, you're a superintendent. Okay. What was it like, I'll say right around March 13th, when suddenly somebody hit everybody in the head with a frying pan and we had to close the schools? And what happened then? Carla.
I think it really just caught us all off guard. We left on that Friday, the 13th, thinking that we would come back to school that Monday with some safety precautions in play. And we actually sent a letter home on that Friday to our parents explaining to them how we were going to change things up to secure our children on Monday. And little did we know that would be the last time that we had an opportunity to see our children. So we were just all in a state of shock, both the children and the schools.
Right. It was so frightening. Okay. And we're going to get into detail how you handled that. Okay. Once we started to realize what was going on. Kiana, what was it like for you? I'll say March 13th. I assume it's the same day. Okay. When Mississippi schools closed down.
Yeah, we were preparing for spring break, actually, that Friday. So we had that week of spring break, and I always say that it was a spring break that never ended, right? So we quickly had to adapt and adjust to distance learning. We had a couple of days to get it done because we were supposed to go back to school that next Monday. So we actually end up using our spring break to prepare for distance learning.
Wow. It's just, again, I have to keep congratulating you and your teachers, your staff, and everybody across the country, I have to say, for the job that they did with absolutely no prep. It's just absolutely incredible. Let me stay with you, Kiana, and you saw this on a school level, certainly. You talked to your fellow principals. As you heard, we deal with a lot of equity and access issues here. And I'm curious how that, when you hear those terms and what you had to go through, and now we're in Laurel, Mississippi, were you able to get the kids the tools they needed, and did they all have access to them? Kiana.
We were able to get the tools that the kids needed. Our teachers are rock stars. Let me start there.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are really a true definition of having your boots on the ground.
Yeah.
And they were ready and they were willing to do whatever it took to make sure that we provided equitable opportunities to our. So the way we did that was, number one, we communicated with our parents. We let them know what we were up against, and we let them know that we needed their support now more than ever to make sure that they had the tools at their fingertips in order for their child to be fully engaged and immersed in distance learning. So we did that with a variety of ways, through phone calls, through surveys, just in talking messages back and forth through our communication system, and we just learned how many of them had access to technology. Technology is a huge component of distance learning. And if they did not have access to technology, we put actual physical packets in their hands in order for all children to still have access to the curriculum. So we did a variety of things to make sure that equitability was at the forefront of what we did.
Wonderful. And I have to ask you, and I hope you're missing it today, Tornado Land, okay, for the cyclones down there. I have to ask, what was the percentage? Did you have a lot of kids who didn't have access in terms of internet accessibility?
Actually, not as much as you think. A lot of our students had access to internet. And those that didn't, we communicated to them some areas in the community that had hotspots or free Wi-Fi connections in order for them to know the areas that would support them in that. So a lot of them actually did have internet access and access to technology, to our surprise. So you don't know unless you ask, right?
Now they can't get out of homework when school comes back and it's on the web. Now you know that they can all get on it, okay? So much for that, all right? It's that simple. What about you, Carla? What happened down in there past Christiane?
A very similar experience to what Dr. Pilton was speaking of. Our very first consideration was equity. We wanted to know if we could honor our core beliefs that call on us to meet the academic and social-emotional needs of all of our students. And I do want to emphasize all of our students. So like they did in Laurel, we use a variety of mediums such as surveys about connectivity. We had to conduct over 270 IEPs, and we made contact with 100% of our parents. So we have roughly 1,217 families, and so we wanted to make sure that we called and reached out to each one. We found that we had about 10% of our school district who did not have internet connectivity at home. We provided laptops and Wi-Fi hotspots to our children, thanks in large part to our community who reached out to us and wanted to know how can we help. So we had individuals, board members, Rotary Club, all made sure that we could get our children the devices and the connectivity that they needed so that when we spiraled up to our online academy, everyone was ready to rock and roll.
I used to be a Rotarian, so I'm glad you mentioned the Rotary Club and all those others. It's just so important when the community steps in. And speaking of the word community, you both mentioned something. And this was not rehearsed, everybody. You both mentioned something. That is communication, all right, and how important that is. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I've got a nice show on school communications, okay, with the National School Public Relations Association at 10:30, okay? But I want to ask you both, and let me stay with you, Dr. Evers, okay? Talk to me about how you operated the communications to everybody. That is so key. And by the way, it's not only the communications, as I'm sure you both realize, out to the community. It's also the communications internally in the school district to all your teachers and staff and faculty. So please, Carla, how would communications worked out?
Communication for us is a very important tool in our toolbox that helps us reach high levels of success. And it's that connectivity with our parents has really helped create a culture for us that values education and sees the school as an extension of the home and the home an extension of the school, because we all want the same thing for our students. We do have a system that allows us to keep up with the level of engagement that we have with our families. We engaged our families over 69,000 times during closure by phone call, email, and text messages.
Yeah.
And we went so far as to take our schools to the front yards of our families. So if it were just to celebrate our students or to conduct parent conferences, I think it was really powerful for our children when they saw the teacher, the principal, and even the superintendent standing in their yard ready to discuss their progress and to celebrate their successes. And I really think the level of communication that you've seen from school districts all across this country is an investment in our children that will yield dividends for years to come. I mean, because it just really solidified the idea that we care for our children above and beyond achievement. Our children are more than numbers to us, and I think this has really spotlighted that for our families.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say something, and you're exactly right, because with all the bad things of this pandemic, and it's obviously a horrible situation, then add that all the social justice thoughts now that are coming into play. You could say that this is a bad time, but this is also, and you just said it, Carla, it's a time of opportunity. Although it's a terrible, terrible time, we have to look at it as an opportunity and look at the opportunity people had to see the investment in their kids that the school district had that went way outside the building. And I can guarantee you, without even knowing the answer, I'm going to ask you in a second, it was the same thing up in Laurel at Kiana's school. Right, Dr. Pendleton?
Yeah, that's right. I agree with everything Dr. Evers said. Communication was definitely at the forefront of our efforts. I took it upon myself to make our situation as normal as possible. By that, I mean, for example, morning announcements, something that was a part of our children's day-to-day learning environment. I took it upon myself to do our morning announcements live through Facebook.
That's great.
Thank you. A lot of our social media platform as well to communicate with our parents. We, like Dr. Evers said, also communicated with them via phone. We didn't mind doing any home visits for those parents that needed support in other ways, not only academics, but as she mentioned earlier, social and emotional support as well. We actually had one of my students who lost their parent as a result of the virus.
God.
So we're dealing with more than just academics. And just preparing to receive our students in the fall, we have to have those things take those things into consideration as well. So communication is key. They need to know that you care. They need to know that you're here and that we hear them and their issues that they're dealing with separately in their home.
Yeah. Yeah, we did a big show yesterday. You're welcome to listen. It's archived over at the website on the importance of social emotional learning. On this, I am so sorry to hear condolences to the whole district for the child you said lost both their parents to Corona.
It was one. He lost one of his parents to Corona. So.
Ugh, God Almighty.
Yeah, thank you for that, for your condolences.
Well, it's a horrible situation, and we all have to face up that 120,000 people are dead. All right, and we're going to run into these situations, and we can't forget it, but it's just a horrible, horrible thing. I just feel so bad for that kid and the family and all the friends, et cetera. And, you know, the teachers, too, we have to deal with this. And now, let me just ask you that. I do want to talk about iReady and the stuff you're doing with my friends at Curriculum Associates, but, you know, we've been talking about the efforts you made towards the students, and believe me, that's the heart of what we do. But how about your teachers got caught short, everybody across the country, not just the teachers in these two districts in Mississippi. Kiana, let me stick with you. All of a sudden, your teachers are online educators. Probably they've never even been trained in that. Okay, March 13th, they're in school, and March 17th, suddenly they're online educators. All right, how'd that work out? And I know they had their hearts in the right place. You guys did everything you could. What was the stress level, the things that you heard coming out from your faculty and staff?
Yeah, well, the stress level began on my birthday. March 17th is my birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me. But you mentioned iReady. iReady was something that we already were considered masters in or experts at that point. This is our third year using the program. So iReady was one of those tools that all of our parents and students were familiar with. It was very easy for us to make that transition with that resource available. We still had our learning paths generated based on data. We still expected our students to have a certain pass rate, a certain amount of minutes using the program. Our teachers still conferenced with our students if they were having issues with passing lessons and all of those things. So our stress level for that reason was kind of elevated because we did have a learning curve. To be very transparent, a lot of our teachers were struggling with the idea of not being able to see their students. So initially we had to get over that shock, that wow factor. And once we got over it quickly, might I add, because you have to move on. You have to keep the main thing, which is always student achievement and making sure that our students' needs are being met in every way. The turnaround time was quick. So we were able to adapt and overcome with our online instruction. So they've gotten a lot more advanced since March 13th, and we're ready to hit the ground running in the fall.
Exactly. It's just amazing, isn't it? I mean, we've all kind of bounced back and rebound to a certain extent. We can actually learn we can do this, okay? We went through it. Carla, what was it like being the superintendent with your – what did you hear from your faculty, et cetera?
We have a team of talented teachers and educators in our school district. And like Dr. Pendleton was saying, iReady and Ready both really made our transition that much, made it easier, so to speak. It was a difficult thing. But when you think about the resources that are available to teachers online, you know, in the olden days, we would have this big old box of resources and everything would exist in the school, and you would have to carry it back and forth in these heavy bags. And so the thing that we really loved about the resource availability for our teachers is that everything that they needed was available to them in their teacher toolbox, and it was easy for them to move it from the teacher toolbox and share it with the children during the virtual lessons. So both of these tools made the access easier for our students as well as for our teachers with regard to their ability to provide high-quality lessons to children. The iReady also gave us an opportunity to start working in a synchronous and an asynchronous environment, meaning that when the teacher was teaching a particular standard, they could assign lessons to students that would correlate with what was happening in class that day when they were online. And so when the children finished their online coursework, then they could log into iReady and work on work that they were learning in school that day. And then, of course, the asynchronous component would be when the children were working in their individual pathways to gain their minutes and close those learning gaps that they have. So it really was a go-to for us. It was that one of those things that we were very confident in because we've been using it now. It's been proven for us, and so we were glad and thankful that we had it available to us.
Yeah, and it's a good product. One of my favorite stories, I was heading down to the FETC conference, the education conference, in January before the pandemic hit, and I was sitting next to a lovely woman, and we just started to talk, and I said, I'm from out of town. She asked where I was going. I told her to an education conference, and she asked me, this is a woman I've never met in my life, she asks me if I know a company that manufactures iReady. And I said, as a matter of fact, I do. They're good friends of mine. Why? She went on and on, just like both of you did, about the product. This is a mom. This wasn't a teacher. This was a mom. She was just heading to her office, okay? And she just went on and on and on about her kid with iReady. So I'm always happy to talk about it because I know from firsthand experience, okay, this product works. Okay, it's that simple, and it works so well. I'm so glad to hear this during this mess we're in now. So I'm so glad you guys were using it. It's just great. You know, I have to ask. You know, I always say we've with technology and access and equity, we've been kind of kicking the can down the road too long, and we found out on March 13th there was a cliff at the end of the road. Okay, and we all had to climb back up together. And so I'll start with Kiana. Kiana, what's the lesson, so to speak, that you learned that you will carry forward as a superior educator to your staff from all this mess with the pandemic? Where are we going forward?
We learned a lot from, we keep mentioning March 13th. It's sort of like a doomsday, but we all decided to look at it as an opportunity for innovation and really meet the needs of our students the way they learn best, which is through online instruction. They love technology. They love all the features. I mean, just you have to think about it. This is the day of technology. Our students learn best that way. They love it.
It is.
Our teachers have had the opportunity to really be creative and innovative with their efforts online. For example, this summer, we decided to kind of get ahead of things and improve our distance learning through a virtual summer school. So we were very excited to launch that, and our parents were so eager and receptive for their child to participate. So we've gotten a lot of things underway, iReady being at the forefront of that. We still acknowledge our students' efforts in iReady. We have adopted to the virtual classroom model. So a lot of our teachers are using the Bitmojis in the virtual classroom. So it's really fun and unique and engaging, and they love it. So we're looking forward to just continuing to learn more about the different types of virtual modes. As Dr. Evers mentioned, the synchronous and asynchronous learning. I introduced those two terms actually to my teachers last week as kind of our words for the day, to learn more about it and how we can adapt and overcome.
Here. It's all down to professional development. By the way, you mentioned technology, and for a long time, teachers had a fear of technology. I should say educators have a fear of had a fear of technology, that it would replace them. And I always have argued that, saying it's the same exact thing as saying chalk will replace you, okay? It's not going to. Technology, like chalk was, okay, is our friend. It is a tool for education. And we've all learned that, okay? It's the teachers using it that makes the difference. Carla, what's the great lesson that has come out of this down in the past, Christiane, or for you personally?
Well, first of all, one of the things that I've learned from this is that isolation can be an enemy of creativity. And it has been such a blessing for me to have peers, other superintendents, not just here on the Gulf Coast, but really even across the country that I've been able to tap into just to get ideas about moving forward. So that's been helpful for me. And in our school district especially, because we've come through a time period where we've lost 85% of the dwellings in our community due to a hurricane.
And so we know
a lot about dealing with crisis. So we work really hard not to waste a crisis. We came out of the last crisis as the top school district in the state. But this time I think we're coming out just really rethinking what's important to us. You know, we, again, like I said earlier, our children are more than test scores. I think we get caught up in wanting to be number one, wanting to be an A, wanting to be the best. But I think this really has brought us back to those basic principles and understanding that the main thing that we're here for is to make sure that when our children walk across the stage, they're ready for that next step in life. And then the final thing is that communication is key. I would encourage anyone, anytime you're dealing with a crisis, that you keep everyone in the loop. And let's not forget our students, because I think oftentimes all of the adults are talking about what's about to happen, what we're planning to do, and we forget to talk to our students.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I met with students, and I wanted to hear from them, how was their experience, what could we do better, what are you looking for in the upcoming year. And our children help guide us in so many ways, because this is what we're doing is for them.
Yep.
So those are the things that I'm taking away from this.
Well, that was wonderful. Thank you, Carl. And were you referring to Katrina when you said 85% of the buildings were done in Pasadena?
Yes, we enjoy all new school buildings.
Yeah.
We lost three of our buildings, and our community lost 85% of the dwellings. And so, we know how to band together and work through things. This was just different because
and rebound.
Yes,
and that's what's going to happen.
We'll be better.
Oh yeah,
we will be better
for
this.
Leadership at both of you. Okay, I wanted to ask I'll stay with you, Carla. What's going on? What are you hearing about the fall? Or do you think you'll be able to reopen school buildings, or what are you hearing in Mississippi? I'll ask Kiana the same. But, Carla, what are you hearing?
As you can see from the reports on the news, the national news this morning, Mississippi's numbers are rising, and our numbers here on the coast are rising. However, we are looking for safe passages or pathways to our classrooms this fall. Like many others, we have three plans at play, a traditional return with safeguards in place, and then we've also considered dividing our children into two groups and having children come 2 to 3 days a week. And then for our students with high needs, we're looking to have them come 5 days a week. So our self-contained students would be at school 5 days a week. So those are our two options, and we are waiting until mid to late July to make our final decision. But our option C, that online option, will always be out there because we're really expecting when flu season comes in along with this, we're really anticipating that we're going to have to spiral back up to a virtual school.
Yeah, it's really scary, and obviously just take care of yourself. What are you hearing for Laurel? Okay, Kiana.
Yeah, same. We are looking at more of a hybrid model, as Dr. Evers mentioned, bringing students in a couple of days a week, dividing them up to where half of them would come maybe 2 days a week, the other half would come the remaining days of the week, and then using the third day in that week to account for our exceptional education population and those students with the higher needs. So we did a district survey, and a lot of our parents agreed that the hybrid model, our option rather, would be at the forefront of their choosing. But as Dr. Evers said, we're looking at the very real possibility of going 100% virtual in the event of another school closure. So we still have that in the forefront of our minds.
Yeah, it has to be, and I'll tell you, one of the things we take the kids into consideration in the every other day thing or whatever, but there's child care issues. A lot of the parents work, okay, and they may have to go back to work. There's an economic crisis as well, and who takes care of the kids who are home? It's just such a difficult time, okay, but luckily we got powerhouse people who, like you two, okay, who will be able to come up with the right way to make this work, and I know you will. It's just ladies, you're wonderful. Keep up the good work. And I got to say something else, okay, if I may. You're both from Mississippi, and good old Mississippi is always ranked number 49 or 50 and all that, but I've done a lot of shows, okay, with the great educators from Mississippi, and to a person, they are the most caring, best educators I've come across down there, and you two fit that bill perfectly, okay? And I just want to say good luck with everything, okay? It's so hard, and you guys are doing a great job. Kiana, you're incredible, and Dr. Carla Evers, amazing job you're doing at Pass Christian. May every hurricane miss you from now on.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all I have to say on that. Ladies, you're wonderful. Thanks, and please, both of you, be careful. Okay, those numbers are rising in Mississippi. Please be careful, okay? And thank you
for having me.
My pleasure, both of you. Have a great day.
Yes, thank you,
bye-bye.
Larry.
You too.
You're welcome.
Stay safe.
Thanks, I will. And please, everybody, avoid today's tornado if one's coming. I didn't even see the weather today. Boy, I hope that passes over. Wow. Okay, Kiana Pendleton, who's the principal of Laurel Mississippi Magnet School of the Arts. We work a lot, by the way, in our current issue of AC&E, Magnet Schools of America is in there, and we work a lot with them. And also Dr. Carla Evers, who's the wonderful fourth-year superintendent, once a pirate, always a pirate, and she's always a pirate, Pass Christian Public Schools down right on the Gulf, okay? Just beautiful place, okay? Pass Christian Public Schools, about 45 minutes from New Orleans if you're ever down there. All right, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. Please go over ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our Consortium for Equity in Education. Join with us. Enjoy the magazine over there. It's all online. It's all free. My name is Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.